Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. We hope that you get a chance to join this radio show this morning, and we like that if you're listening, but we also hope that you have a chance to remember, as everyone says, the true meaning behind Christmas. We are on Christmas Eve, and wow, what a time 2024 has been. Some breaking news happening now. Apparently, American Airlines flights have been grounded nationwide on this Christmas Eve due to a technical issue. So if you're listening and you're thinking about traveling, no matter where you are in the United States, if it's through American Airlines, I feel for you, man. This is not the time you want an air company like American Airlines to go down right before a holiday when you're supposed to be traveling. So we'll hope for the best. We'll continue to monitor this. But first, let's go to the short list.
The Mark Cox short list.
Today, what President Biden did demonstrated moral leadership, compassionate leadership, informed by his own faith and a position that he's held for a very long time.
I don't know about that. It's so funny because you talk about the moral aspect of commuting these people on federal death row. And the moral aspect would say, if you really, truly believed it, you would have done it at the start of your presidency, not at the end.
Some of the death row inmates whose sentences Biden actually commuted, because it's really disgusting. Thomas Sanders, he brutally kidnapped and murdered a 12-year-old girl.
I go back into the visualization that these families get some justice for their child that was murdered, and some of these other families are gathering for Christmas, and now they have to realize that justice will not be served.
In fact, for every 8 people who are killed, one person later is found to be exonerated. So we are encouraging the president to continue on this moral path.
It's so funny because I think that was the head of the NAACP. Go on to the moral path. So, as our guest just pointed out, Connor Vasil, then why did you exclude some others that were off of it? If it's a moral path, then anyone that's on death row, you should have exonerated, you know, maybe commuted, rather, their sentence so they can just serve life in prison. You should have done it to everyone if it was a moral standpoint. But it's not a moral standpoint. More or less looking political and special interest.
Here's a little hack to stop your parents from misgendering you this holiday season. Simply release all the and in your body onto the floor.
It's mental illness is at its peak in 2024. I don't know if it's going to get any better. It probably won't. All right, so going back to this top story, it says we're currently experiencing a technical issue with all American Airlines flights. Your safety is our utmost priority. Once this is rectified, we'll have you safely on your way to your destination. The FAA nor American immediately detailed what forced the unexpected stop. Imagine being stuck at an airport for Christmas Eve. Oh boy. You feel like Kevin McAllister's mom. You're trying to get a flight back. You just want to go see your kid that you forgot at home. And you can't because there's no space on the airlines.
Wet bandits.
What about the wet bandits?
They're the reason.
Just want to say it. Wait, yeah. They're the reasons why they couldn't get back?
No.
Or the reason why Kevin was in trouble?
That's the reason Kevin was in trouble. Kevin would have been fine. Right. If it weren't for the wet bandits.
Yeah, he would have been living the high life, ordering pizza and saying, keep the change, you filthy animal. And he had to go and defend himself through all that. Babylon Bee had a fantastic headline. Let me see if I can find that real quick. But while I look for that, 19-year-old charged with striking pedestrians at Ted Drew's. Carl, you've been monitoring the local news, and you said that they've been doing live shots, all the local stations, live shots out of Ted Drew's.
Live shots of a very dark Ted Drew's. So,
I don't think I've seen any new information about that. Have you?
No. They have a picture of the suspect. That's all I have.
Yeah, and that's about it. And it makes it sound like even the charges that were pressed, we don't exactly know. Bond and some of these other things. questions about the kid, the 19-year-old that did this. These are all very important questions that I don't think have been answered yet, and maybe will. But going back to what I think every parent has had, if you go to Ted Drew's, specifically that location, you're waiting in line. There's always a line. And it's, depending on how long the line is, sometimes it's on the side of the building and you come up and around. And then give them credit. They get through the line super quick. I think them and Chick-fil-A are the fastest lines you'll ever go through when it comes to ordering any type of food. So they get you in, you get your order, but any parent that's been standing in those line with their kids have had in the back of their mind, man, we're right up against the road. It's busy. Cars are flying by here. What happens if a car swerves, or what happens if this or that? It's scary. It's a scary thought that came to the realization. And now five people injured, I believe is the number. Is it six? But one of them was an off-duty officer. Now charged is 19-year-old Rasul Al-Janabi. Five counts of leaving the scene of an accident causing physical injury. Online court records do not provide bond information or say when Al-Janabi will appear in court. This is Fox 2's write-up of it. 21-year-old, 17-year-old, 55-year-old, 39-year-old, 12-year-old girl taken to injuries. An 82-year-old man was also injured. According to investigators, Al-Janabi was traveling westbound on Chippewa when his vehicle swerved and crashed into the metal barriers along the parking lot side of Ted Drew's, striking five people. He was a sixth person. Al-Janabi injured a sixth person while backing his vehicle up. So that's in the
westbound. That means he was going towards the county. It's not like he had gone through going towards into the city. He was going towards Shrewsbury. So he had to cross traffic lanes if he was going westbound.
Yeah. I guess that is true. Wait, come to that. Yeah, I'm getting disoriented here.
Yeah, he was going towards Shrewsbury.
That's quite the swerve.
So if he swerved to miss something, he also had to cross two lanes of traffic.
I know when you're 19 years old, you don't make the best decisions. Swerving into oncoming traffic is not the best move at all.
There's a whole bank he could have crashed into.
Yeah. Let's look at this for reality, and we don't know the circumstances, and I'm sure we'll learn more about this case and maybe some of the other details in the case as the information's released, but still. There's a lot of things that happen. People speed like crazy. People are distracted, looking at phones or whatever it is. People don't care about other people. And you're 19, you don't make the best decisions. It's, I don't know. I don't know if you're back from college. I don't know if you're kind of that age. You know, you think about other things that may be influencing a kid of that age. We'll just leave it at that because we don't know. There's a lot of things that could be happening here. And then the kid leaves the scene of the crime and comes back later. These are all terrible circumstances for the people that were injured. It sounds like this didn't have to happen. It really sounds like this didn't have to happen. So we hope all those people that were injured have a full recovery. The 19-year-old said he panicked when there was a large crowd of people surrounding his vehicle. Well, yeah. Then you backed up into someone and then left. St. Louis is a crazy thing. When you see people play that video game Grand Theft Auto and the way they drive in it, that's, I think about St. Louis, honestly, because it's not just St. Louis, but it's a lot of different large metropolitan cities essentially have this mentality that there is no one else. I'm the only one that's important. I'm justified to do whatever I want on the road. I can do double the speed limit. I can swerve in and out. I can come within inches of killing someone. I could disobey traffic laws. I can run red lights. I can run stop signs. I can do whatever I want because I'm the main character. That's the type of mentality people have behind the wheel today. And before, it was one person out of 1,000, maybe. When you were driving, you'd be like, oh, wow, that's something else. Now, out of 1,000 people, it seems like it's 100 out of 1,000 people. It seems like more and more frequently, you're seeing more and more of this happening, and it's only going to get worse. And these are the type of real life consequences that fall into it. And part of what we run into now is that we are so lenient and forgiving of being intoxicants behind the wheel. I know we don't tolerate drunk driving, but smoking when you're, you know, being high behind the wheel, that is like, how many times you've been at a red light or a stop sign and you smell it and you're like, okay, someone here's smoking, and they're getting themselves intoxicated behind the wheel. It is a real, real, real problem. And we just dismiss it. Oh, no big deal. We, you know, it's you're the prude for having any issue with getting high and hopping behind a wheel. You just got to get with the times, old man. That's the problem. All right. When we come back, we do have a lot to get to. And there was a comment by former politician Joe Walsh. I'm not a big fan of his, but I do want to talk about his comments. And maybe we can look more into the faith of Joe Biden and the faith of Donald Trump. There's a Cardinal Dolan commented on Donald Trump's faith. And I think some people are now commenting on Joe Biden's based on commuting these sentences. We'll get to that, too. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Hey, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. And this is one of the great moments in that movie Home Alone where the wet bandits are outside and Kevin wanted to make it look like the house was full of people. So he likes puts a Jordan silhouette on a train track to make it look like there's people walking around and he's making people dance and they're playing rock around the Christmas tree like this. That's pretty smart, Kevin McAllister. Very smart. Good work.
Or John Hughes.
John Hughes?
He wrote the film.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you want to give the credit to where credit is to Kevin McAllister,
character.
The character. Yeah, the fictional character inside the fictional movie and the setup. And why not? Okay, a couple of things I want to get to here, and thanks for all the messages I'm looking at on the video chat right now. John has an issue with the moral leadership line that someone has about Joe Biden, the moral leadership and what that takes. So the Biden administration is commuting sentences to most everyone on death row. Morons, the term that he uses there. Yeah, I think most people feel that exact same way, and I brought this up. So Joe Biden, what, is taking one more trip on the taxpayer dime to Italy? I wonder if he's going to go talk to the Pope. And I hope that he is doing that because he feels like this is his last chance, right, to make amends in this world. He must have done so many bad things. You know, I don't know if he's necessarily done bad things, but he's definitely allowed for a lot of bad things to happen. I guess we'll no reason to overanalyze that. I wanted to look at what an old Congressman Joe Walsh brought up and play these clips and maybe we can comment on these together. Carl, can we play clip number 5?
Donald Trump is humanly incapable of shame and every Republican has learned from Trump. And what they've learned, Eamon, is never apologize, never acknowledge wrongdoing, lie, 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 fight back, never look weak. And that's what Matt Gaetz is doing. It's worse than what Basil said. Not only do they no longer do Republicans no longer self-police, it's worse than that. Republican voters want these kinds of candidates. Most of Trump's voters love the fact that he's a horrible human being. I expect Matt Gaetz, the voters, to say the same thing about him. They want this.
Let's unpack this for a moment, and we'll just do this on the surface for the sake of we don't have a ton of time. But here's what he's bringing up. He's saying that the strategy of Donald Trump and now the strategy of Republicans, fight, 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 lie, 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 essentially is what he's saying. Here's what I would say. What we saw with Donald Trump that was different from other candidates is that when someone lies about you, that in the past, you would look at it and say, well, there's no coming back from this, so I guess I'm just done. You can forget about what the truth actually is. Once the public opinion is formed, it's too hard to claw your way back. There's no use in fighting. I might as well step down. And we saw this happen to some people that weren't Donald Trump. In fact, a lot of politicians, a lot of people. What we found when Donald Trump came in is that not only did the lies ramp up, the frequency of the lies ramped up. And you had a person that wasn't standing for it, so he fought back. This is worth a deeper dive, and I just don't have the stats in front of me. But if we were to go back and look at all the different quote-unquote lies that were brought up against politicians in the past and what sunk them, it would probably take one or two, and you would be done. the media hit job would be over and they would move on to the next target, because we know the media in a lot of ways takes sides. They don't like conservatives. That's just a matter of fact. So they go after that. Now, Donald Trump tried something different. He said, I'm going to call them out not only for them telling a lie, but I'm going to make sure they're known for being dishonest. We're going to make sure they're known, and their track record has shown that they are a fake news entity. So Donald Trump turned the tables in a lot of different ways, and he used it as a strategy. And when he started to becoming vindicated by realizing, like, hey, he's actually right here. Donald Trump is right when he turned this around. Not only did the lies ramp up in frequency against him and what was accused of him, we found that it was a media gang pile, and it was a strategy, and they became an elected arm, not an elected, but they became a arm of the party that was against Donald Trump. And in some cases, the same party, when they took the stance of other Republicans that piled on top of Donald Trump to begin with. So when he started to turn the tables and say, no, this is not it, and then all of a sudden more and more truths start to come out and we realize that Donald Trump was right, then it got to the point where people said, well, if the media is lying to me, we're just not going to believe them to begin with. The media resented that. How dare you go against the journalist? This is a sacred profession. This is something that can never be questioned. Well, Donald Trump said, as soon as you started lying, you failed to be a journalist. You failed objectivity, and you did it to yourself. So even if, like, let's say, I know that he's not batting 1,000. I know Donald Trump doesn't always tell the truth. He doesn't bat 1,000. We got to be honest about that. But even if he calls that, people have said, you know what? You cried wolf too many times, national media. They just sided with him anyway. So the interpretation that this former congressman had, Joe Walsh, is that, hey, you're looking at a dirty, rotten, scoundrel liar in Donald Trump, and Republicans love him because he's a horrible human being. He jumps to this conclusion as if everything that was said about Donald Trump was gospel truth to begin with, which is actually the biggest lie. And I think this is the mindset that a lot of commentators and people that hate Donald Trump got into. They got into this wrong mindset that everything that was said about him negatively was true, and anything that was said about him positively was, you know what, a reflection of yourself of loving horrible people. And that's such a huge flaw that needs to be pointed out over and over again. All right, it is 2A Tuesday. Let's talk guns coming up after the break. 97.1 FM Talk.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire 2 blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Always look forward to 2A Tuesday. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. Joining us now is State Senator-elect Brad Hutson. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Just a quick little breaking news story that's coming through here. So American Airlines earlier today were grounded. They had a technical issue. Looking at WTOP, a big news organization in D.C., saying that now they're boarding their flights. So it looks like that technical delay, hopefully they're going to be able to move past it. What a worst day can you think of to get grounded when you're trying to travel for a Christmas? So hopefully everyone that may be flying today gets to their destination. And albeit if it's a couple hours late, you'll take that based on it could have been not happening at all this morning. So anyone trying to go on American Airlines. All right. So let's talk about some of the priorities we're going to be looking at starting next year in Missouri. And what are some of these bills that have to do with the Second Amendment? And there's one particular that I think there was one that you proposed, but there's another one you're supporting that's going on. What's going on with that?
So I have pre-filed Senate Bill 74, which would expand and add teeth to Missouri's firearm preemption laws. Currently, in the state of Missouri, we do not allow political subdivisions, that would be cities and counties, to enact ordinances that are gun control stricter than what state law allows, with the exception of open carry. What my bill would do make it to where cities and counties cannot act any firearms ordinance that's stricter in Missouri law and than Missouri law in any way, including open carry. It would add teeth to Missouri's firearm preemption law in that it would allow individuals to sue the political subdivisions that would violate their Second Amendment rights. So this is, if you look at Jackson County and the ordinance that was the illegal ordinance that was passed last month, I think it was, what we're trying to do here is to prevent counties and cities from violating the Second Amendment rights of their citizens.
Okay. So why would this be necessary? So individual areas, they kind of have their own, people, their own feel to it. They want to have their own laws. So why not allow places like St. Louis or some of these other places to have their own regulations?
Yeah, I can appreciate that question. And on many things, I am certainly in favor of local control. But not local control when it comes to something that would violate the constitutional rights of a citizen. Political subdivisions are created by the state. The state has a responsibility to protect the God-given rights of the citizens of that state. And so the Constitution recognizes you've got a right to keep and bear arms, and that shouldn't change just because you cross the city limit sign.
So let's look at some of the problems that I think people run into. I'll just take St. Louis as an example, that they don't honestly know what the laws are. Right. A lot of times the people that the police are busting are the ones that are just going to ignore whatever law is being brought up to begin with. So what would something like this do to help protect those that are law abiding citizens?
Yeah. So and that's that's a good point. So a lot of folks need to understand that there's a reason that when you look at a lot of these places that have some of the most violence and crime that firearms are involved in, also have some of the strictest gun control laws. When you have a situation where law-abiding citizens cannot defend themselves, then you have a situation where law-abiding citizens are in danger. And so it's not right for governments to disarm law-abiding citizens, because we know criminals, by definition, do not obey the law. And so if you have law-abiding citizens and you tell them they can't carry, you tell them they can't possess a firearm, then how are they going to protect themselves from those that don't care what the law says anyway?
Can I bring up, I don't know if this would help or not, but let me bring up an example that happened in New York, this Daniel Penny effect. And you probably have seen over the weekend that poor woman burned alive. You had an illegal immigrant that watched it, that not only perpetrated it and sat there and watched this poor woman burn to death. And all these bystanders were watching, pulling out their phones, and they're calling it the Daniel Penny effect because no one stepped in to help. And it's just a horrific, sad, terrible thing. Do you feel like in Missouri, in some of these areas, that there may be people that would step in to help, but they're afraid that if it was revealed they had a concealed or any type of firearm on them, that, my life will be ruined if I try to save someone else's life. So, I'm not going to bother doing it. Do you think perhaps laws like this would help bystanders protect other people that are becoming victims as well?
I think so. I think it absolutely would. Listen, we've got some areas in our state where crime is a significant issue, and you cannot, as great as the men and women of law enforcement are, and as well as they do their jobs, you cannot expect that they're going to be everywhere at all times. We need citizens that are willing to step in and do the right thing, and until we empower them to do that, until we realize that we've got responsibilities as citizens, then we're going to continue to have these pockets of our state that are lawless societies and pockets of our country that are that way as well.
What do you think? Do you think there's a pretty good chance that this gets serious consideration here in 2025?
I think so. I've been having some good conversations with people that are connected to both sides of the building. I know we're going to have some good allies in the House that are going to be all for this. And I've made it one of my top priorities in the Missouri Senate. So I think we're going to have a good conversation about this. Missouri already recognizes that we are a 2A state, that we believe in protecting a citizen's right to keep and bear arms. And, you know, there are a whole lot of folks in, that work in that Capitol building in Jefferson City that ran on protecting the Second Amendment. So here's a way we can do that. And so I'm optimistic that we're going to have a path forward on this and certainly be able to have some good conversations about it.
From District 33, Brad Hudson joining us here on 2A Tuesday. Let me bring up an argument that what I heard a lot over the years in St. Louis, which was police would say this, the mayor would say this, different politicians, and keep in mind St. Louis is St. Louis, you know where they stand on these things. But nonetheless, they would say that when you allow for this, it gives people the opportunity to use the gun in a legal way. So let's say it may start off with them being able to just carry, and there's nothing wrong based on these laws to do that. But then they get into an argument and, oh, look at that. They just happen to have the gun, so they're going to use the gun in a way to hurt someone else. And then they use it in an illegal way. So their mindset is, you know what? If we can just eliminate it altogether, then we'll stop having crime. So that's basically their mindset with all of this. So what would you say to those, the politicians, in some cases, even those ranking police officials that say that this is actually counterproductive?
Yeah, I totally disagree with that logic. Disarming law-abiding citizens is never the answer. Again, criminals, by definition, they don't care what the law says, and there are going to be criminals out there that possess firearms, that have firearms, and you know, the Jackson County ordinance is a good example of a political subdivision that wants to do something, but they're doing the wrong thing. Yeah. They're making it illegal, with some exceptions, but they're making it illegal for individuals under 21 to possess firearms. Think about that for a minute. They are disarming young adults. That is not the right direction to go with this. We cannot infringe upon an individual's constitutional rights because some folks violated the law. This is not the answer. This is not the way that we make our community safer.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, there was an argument I heard years ago by Trey Gowdy. I always enjoyed him when he was serving. I think he was in South Carolina, but essentially, can you think of any other constitutional protections that are asked to be waived based on someone else violating them? Imagine if your First Amendment protections were waived because someone else used them in a way that shouldn't have been used illegally. We couldn't imagine anyone else's rights being taken away based on how someone else used them. And then why wouldn't we also protect the Second Amendment that way? So I think that's important. If people wanted to look you up online, Brad, by the way, where can you go?
Yeah, that's great. So we don't have official Senate contact information because I won't officially become a state senator until January the 8th. But I am on Facebook at Brad Hudson for Missouri. I'm on X at Brad underscore Hudson underscore. And we're looking forward to hitting the ground running come January.
Wonderful. Good luck to you, Brad Hudson's Senate District 33 here in Missouri. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, and hopefully you will get to go home if you are flying American Airlines. It looks like they are now boarding planes after that technical issue. Hopefully they get you to where you need to go safely this Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox. And I was looking online, Christmas stores that'll be open. How about this? 7-Eleven, most of them open 24 hours. You have Circle K's, CVS's, many will stay open. Love's Travel Stops, open 24 hours. I got to tell you, whenever
if you need a shower.
I've never needed a shower on the road, but I know truckers love it. I guess if you're on the road a lot, you don't want to stink. But whenever I would travel from St. Louis to Detroit, and I would drive, I would try to stop at a Love's. They were my favorite gas station.
We stop at either Wally's or Bucky's.
Yeah, those are both good options. I've never been to a Buc-ee's, but people love them.
I know. I think Wally's is better because Buc-ee's is just a lot. Yeah. Wally's is a tighter version of a Buc-ee's.
Yep. There's Sheetz, similar to Buc-ee's in a way.
Well, see, the thing about Buc-ee's and Wally's is they're not truck stops. They don't want the big rigs there. And Sheetz and Love's, they have the showers and they have the whole trucker thing. So that's the main difference between the two types.
You have Walgreens, some other gas stations, Flying J's, Pilots. So you're going to find a lot of them are open. Some restaurants that may be open. Restaurant chains, Denny's, they all are always open.
Chinese restaurants.
Buffalo Wild Wings, Applebee's. It seems like there's a lot of those places, but if you have to be in front of the public in your job, that's not always fun. There's a lot of jobs that just have to work on Christmas anyway. Radio being one of them, except for you guys. You get to take off tomorrow, don't you, Carl?
That's right. The Annie Fry Christmas special will be on all day.
Yeah, right. Well, Annie Fry today and tomorrow. I think people understand that's a way for the show to be able to take a little bit of a break. But
well, we're
going to
have some Fox News special programming, religious programming, story of Jesus tomorrow around this time.
And then Annie Fry. That's the way to do it. Here in Detroit, we're an all news station, and you broadcast. There is no special programming.
Yeah, 24/7. KMOX will be on all day.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they will have on there. I don't think they have too many local shows, but they'll have other people here to do things like news, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll have people. But luckily I was able to take off. And what we find, and I got to tell you, I got to give a lot of credit where credit is due. The news director, our boss, is the one that comes in and does a lot of the work. Just so people can have the day off. It's pretty amazing. So I got to say I'm thankful for that, to be able to still in a industry where everyone, has still works holidays. I work a lot of holidays throughout the course of the year. I just ask for two holidays off, Christmas and Thanksgiving. It's all I care about. Last year I worked Thanksgiving. This year I don't have to work Christmas. It's fine. So anyone that may be working in your front of the public, I hear you. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. It's not fun. No one wants to do it, but I get it. I'm with you. I get it. I wanted to play this one clip, and part of it is what we're seeing right now, at least on the political side. A lot of people are not happy that Elon Musk has such a sway on the government. And I think Scott Jennings put it best for CNN, and he has become a rising star for his counter commentary on CNN, trying to put them into some better realistic expectations when it comes to the way the world works. And if it wasn't for Scott Jennings, I don't know if there would be any sort of counterpoint to the, strictly liberal viewpoints that they have on networks like that. Can we play clip number six? And this is in regard to Elon Musk. Sorry.
Is this going to wear thin with Donald Trump soon?
I don't think so. I mean, look, they appear to be getting along well. Musk was very instrumental in his victory. And I hear Democrats, criticizing the idea that we have unelected people with too much influence over the government. I invite them to pick up the Wall Street Journal from this week and find out that unelected people have been running the government for the last 4 years. I hear Democrats criticizing the influence of billionaires on our politics when you've got this Soros punk running around collecting Democrat politicians like my kids collect Pokemon cards. So I think all the criticism of Musk coming from the left is totally hypocritical, totally over the top. And he is doing something interesting, bringing some transparency to the federal government. It's not a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's really not a terrible thing. And Scott Jennings is 100% right. I want to go back to one of the popular commentaries that comedian Dave Chappelle had, and he did this on SNL. It's so funny because he went to host SNL. He knew that they didn't want him saying anything that would bring, some sort of even neutral light onto a Donald Trump. So when they were doing the rehearsal show, he had a completely different set for his monologue. When he went to on air, he completely switched it up and he gave that famous monologue about how Americans were just fed up. And he told the story about Donald Trump. And when he realized a star was born was during the debate with Hillary Clinton, when Hillary Clinton went up there and said, Donald Trump's not paying taxes and tried to pull all this stuff. And Donald Trump takes to the mic and said, then change the laws. I am following the law. And you know what? You're not going to change it. Why? Because all these donors of yours won't allow you to change it. So I'm taking advantage of it, just like every single one of these people that are giving you money. And you're not going to change it either, are you? Donald Trump told it exactly the way it was. The American people recognized that and knew that they weren't lied to for once by a politician, one that was following the law and taking advantage of the same tax breaks that any of these other rich people were taking. So Hillary Clinton pretending to be above it, and oh, I'm fighting for the people. You weren't fighting for the people, Hillary Clinton. You are not. You're fighting for your donors. Donald Trump comes in, realizes that, and you can look at his first 4 years in office, his first term, and realize he fought for a lot of people that had no voice in the past. And to think that that's going to change in the next 4 years, he's going to go special interest, totally disagree. I feel like the people that he's putting into place and the people he's listening to actually want to help Americans. Want to help, and I'll underline that word, Americans, and that's important. All right, don't go anywhere.
Get more at 971talk.com.